the intro.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Coffee with Cashy. I am your host, Dr. Trevor Cashy, doing a really cool stress workshop for some corporate wellness stuff TCAN's up to, and I thought, you know, since I'm building this thing, I'd share a little bit of it with you guys, and if you're interested, maybe we can schedule something a little bit behind the scenes and have a little private workshop action going. The entire workshop, okay, is essentially related to stress and stress management and cognitive, emotive, and behavioral aspects of stress management. So it's really more on the mind side rather than the brain side. We took talk about a little bit about the brain and the biological stuff, though. However, the entire workshop rests on three fundamental premises. So premise one, which is a few premises in one, but I just like saying the term premises, okay? Stimulus leads to response. You are definitely experts at this now. Stimulus leads to response. Response leads to outcome. And outcomes act as or lead to more stimuli. Okay, that is premise number one. Premise number two is that thoughts, feelings, and actions are interrelated. They're interrelated. They all happen at the same time, and they all are also dependent on each other. Modification of thinking, feeling, and acting actually ends up occurring in the space between stimulus and response. That's where the modification occurs. And if you modify one, if you modify thoughts, then you modify your feeling and thinking. If you modify your feeling, then you modify your acting and your thinking. And if you modify your acting, then you modify your thinking and feeling, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, I probably repeated those. That's okay. The whole point is that if you modify one, you modify the other two. Okay, and now premise number three, the big one. Premise number three is that the stress of your inner world is a result of your opinions about the outer world. And opinions are a combination of thoughts and feelings, okay? So this workshop is about engineering these interactions on purpose and with purpose. This way you think, feel, and do less dumb stuff, and instead you think, feel, and do more smart stuff. Sound good?
Bueno.
Let's get rolling. Here are some stress basics. You start out with our big fat S. You got yourself a potential stressor. Now, a stressor is any experience, real or imagined, that can cause or perpetuate a stress response. Now, a stress response is biological, okay? That's your body responding. This could be a test you have to take, a deadline at work, a global pandemic, a nightmare. This could be a conflict or recurring conflict that you have in your relationship. We think about that stressor, or we appraise it a few different ways. We appraise it in the space between stimulus and response here. This is where appraisal occurs. Does it matter? Is it a big deal? What are the implications? Should I really be worried about this? This is a primary appraisal. Okay. And if you decide, yeah, I really best be worried about this, well, then you move on to what's called a secondary appraisal. A secondary appraisal is the thoughts you have about responding to the stressor. So the primary appraisal is kind of like the first half of the space between. And then the secondary appraisal is like the second half of the space between. So it's, should I be worried about this? Or is it best that I'm worried about this? Okay, since I am worried about this, what do I do about it? So at this point, you're talking about or thinking about your response, your cognitive behavioral response. That is, am I ready to do anything about this stressor? Am I willing to do anything about this stressor? Am I able to do anything about this stressor? And if I am able, to what extent am I able to do anything about this stressor? There's a lot of questions, right? Yeah, your brain goes through them pretty darn fast. It is what happens, though, okay? And that means that when you go about planning your response, you now end up appraising the resources. So at first you start out as appraising the stressor, and once you appraise the stressor as stressworthy, then you start appraising your resources to ameliorate the stressor. It's a fancy science word for making it go away. This would be time, money, physical energy, mental energy, emotional stability, friends, family, experts, coaches, etc. So you've encountered a stimulus, right? You've had an experience that's caught your attention. That's what a stimulus is. You have a potential stressor in your midst. The next step is for you to determine if it's worth any more of your attention. This is the primary cognitive appraisal here in the space between stimulus and response. If yes, then two things happen. It becomes upgraded from a normal stimulus, something that gets your attention, into a stressful stimulus or a stressor, if you'd like. And two, there is an initial valuation of how mondo that stressor is. Now that I have determined via opinion this is a stressor, how much of a stressor is it? Once you upgrade it to a stressor, you go through another cognitive appraisal. Okay, this is now secondary appraisal, except this time you're appraising the resources so that you can make the stressor go away. Okay, this bi-layered cognitive appraisal process is the fundamental premise behind what I call the principal variable outcomes. That is, 1,000 people can be exposed to the exact same thing, the exact same stimulus, and get a huge variety of outcomes. This means that they respond to the stimulus differently, which means there's a massive variety of outcomes, okay? For about as many responses or more, okay? You'll invariably get a Gaussian distribution, that's a fancy word for a bell curve, okay, that represents a variety of those responses. Each person will appraise, so the space, so if everybody gets exposed to the same stimulus, they will appraise it differently. And this is why there's a variety of responses. Each person will have a variety of starting perspectives, different assumed implications of that stressor should it play out. What does this mean? Different approaches to dealing with the stressor and different resources to deal with it. So the appraisal process is why people respond to the same stimulus differently. And this occurs in the space between stimulus and response. That is the space where a person can, if they so choose, to inject logic and reason to influence their outcomes. Does that make sense? Hopefully that makes sense. If you're looking for opportunities to manage stress or resolve it completely, then you can see there are plenty of places ripe for investigation and intervention. That is to interrupt the current approach to managing stress and replacing it with something better. We could change how likely we are to encounter that stressor, environments, relationships, lifestyle, and so on. We could augment the primary cognitive appraisal process. Like, what is the nature of the stressor? What lens am I looking through here when I'm interpreting this information? Is this actually a stressor? If so, how much and what does it mean? Okay. We could augment the secondary appraisal process. What's the best way to deal with this stressor with the resources I have? Right off the bat, there are tons of options, and that's good. It means you can target where you'll get the biggest bang for buck. Biologically speaking, now stress is stress. The body is the same sort of biochemical, physiological response to any stress-filled situation. This means that the nature of stress is relatively neutral. It is only the body's response, R, to being stimulated, S, by the physical or mental environment. The only thing stress serves to do is give us some biological oomph, right? Some activation, some energy and focus, a signal to change something that we determined through cognitive appraisal that it's worth changing. And to that end, stress is good. Zero stress means zero motivation, means zero humans. Okay. However, in our minds, we arbitrarily tend to split stressors into two categories, challenges to overcome or threats to avoid. Those are two general categories people will split their stressors into: toward the good, away from bad. And it's in these two categories that determines how helpful or harmful that biological stress response is. This happens to be the primary appraisal process. It happens in the primary appraisal process. Is this stressor good or bad? Do I want to go toward benefit or away from hassle? Things of that nature. And this a lot of times happens before we realize it, unless you train yourself through some beautiful coaching to get some presence of mind so you can augment and improve that appraisal process. So let's talk about challenges to overcome toward the good stuff. Challenging stressors are appraised as they are workable, solvable annoyances or hassles or frustrations that do require time, attention, and resources, maybe even a lot of time, attention, and resources. And that's okay. It's still doable and maybe even a little exciting to do it. And that excitement is a biological stress response to a positive appraisal, by the way. Maybe it's a big project at work. Maybe it's setting a new record for yourself. In any case, this, during that secondary appraisal process, where you've gone from, okay, I've decided that this is a challenge worth overcoming. Now the secondary appraisal process is, what are the resources I have at my disposal and how I utilize them so that I can overcome this challenge? You believe that you're going to come out the other end better, having learned something and having improved your preparedness for future stressors of the same type, ideally even pushing the boundaries for even greater future challenges. The stressor is appraised as having a low relative threat to your physical person. The stressor is appraised as having a low relative threat to your self-esteem. And this stressor is appraised as having a high relative reward for having overcome it. The stress in this case comes from the implications. You know you can deal with the stressor, but the outcome is still a bit of a mystery. So you know you can deal with it even though the outcome is a mystery. The overall bad stress, the distress, is low. Okay? And so you generate a healthy level of concern, as like a sense of duty, rather than harmful levels of anxiety. Okay? Just like when there's a threat to avoid, away from the bad. So we started with challenges to overcome toward good stuff, and now we're on threats to avoid, away from the bad stuff. Threatening stressors are appraised as dangers, either dangers to the physical self, your body, or dangers to the social self, your status, how you see yourself, and how you think other people see you, your self-esteem, should you subscribe to the self-esteem disease. Okay? If primarily you appraise a stressor as having bad implications, and then secondarily, so your primary appraisal is bad implications, and your secondary appraisal is your ability to prevent or deal with those implications as too low. So something bad is probably going to happen, and my ability to deal with that bad thing is low. That's when your oh shit machine starts revving, okay? Since there are inferred implications that the result of this stressor is bad, and your perception of controlling this, the outcome of the stressor, is low, well, then this approximates the stressor as a threatening stressor. And this is where stress and anxiety, as we normally think of it, comes from. At TCAN, we just call it anxietizing, to appropriate that term from Dr. Ellis, okay? Once the anxietizing begins, people start thinking and acting neurotically. They tend to make their situation go from what they think might be bad to acting like neurotic stress balls, prompting tons of avoidance behaviors, delays, aversions. You guys know about the frustration aversion paradox now. And as a result, taking a stressor they imagined and turning it into a real life problem that is stressful. Procrastinating, staying up late, emotional blow-ups, meltdowns, chronic arguments, especially petty arguments, smoking, socially isolating, going too long without food and then overeating when you do eat, eating out, getting more takeout, couch surfing, drinking, prescription drug use, recreational drug use, pornography, gambling, retail therapy, listening to Nickelback, acting irritable and snappy, Netflix and other streaming marathons, constant snacking or binging, any of these things, among, you know, a huge laundry list of other things, when done as a response R to a stressor S, typically end up causing their own stressors by virtue of being destructive outcomes at O, okay? The outcome, okay, any of these things, okay, when you respond to a stressor like this, it creates a destructive outcome which ends up causing more problems, more stressors, okay? And that creates a grinder, and it grinds away at your sanity and your worth as a person, okay? That is some introductory information to the stress workshop. Hopefully you found that valuable. That's all she wrote today. Thank you so much for learning. Until next time. Want to continue having coffee with Dr. Kashi? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It is very much appreciated. Thank you, and see you next week. Dr. Kashi is out!